Dear congregation, this morning our text takes us to the hill country outside of Bethlehem, a place I'm sure you visited in your mind very often. But let's go once again, all of us, children as well. You're welcome to come with us to the place that's open to all. For this shall be good news, the angel said, to all people, no matter who and no matter where. The events of our text unfolded a dark night long ago. The well-known carol calls this a silent night. And indeed, especially in ancient times, nighttime was largely synonymous with silence. Everything pretty much ground to a halt. Even the cities would become quiet, and even more so the countryside like Bethlehem and the surrounding area. No doubt it was a silent night over the fields around Bethlehem. And yet, this silent night is a picture of something greater into which Christ came. The prophet Isaiah said, didn't he, that Christ's coming would be to people who walked in darkness and saw no light, and upon them hath the light shined. And essentially for 400 years before our text, it had been dark in the land of Israel. There was no open prophecy. Israel had lost its independence to the Roman Empire. Everything really, from a certain perspective, had grown so terribly and so awfully dark. People may have even grown accustomed to the darkness all around them. You know how that goes. The silence from heaven. And yet, oh friends, this morning we want, with the help of the Lord, to see how the Savior coming into this world was a glorious and needed interruption of that long and dark night that had lasted so long. And so too, even today, the Lord Jesus Christ breaks into our lives and he gives hope and light to what otherwise would be a dark and quiet world. And so our theme, with God's help this morning from this whole passage, we'll look at it in terms of really the whole story. Our theme is Silent Night. And we'll see, first of all, this silent night interrupted on the earth. Secondly, interrupted in the heavens. And thirdly, interrupted in our hearts. Silent night. Interrupted on the earth. Interrupted in the heavens. And interrupted in our hearts. Well, the silent night around Bethlehem, children, was interrupted at a very basic level when all of a sudden, there in the darkness, in a stable, there the cries of a newborn were heard. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. As best as we can tell, Jesus was born just outside the village of Bethlehem in a stable, probably in one of the many caves that were there around Bethlehem. People would often keep animals in caves, and the caves offered them protection from the elements and from predators. It would be not uncommon for the Bethlehemites to keep an ox or a donkey in such a stable. And perhaps this was even the stable of the inn, where the travelers kept their animals till they continued on their journey, the inn in which there had been no room for Jesus' parents and for Jesus himself. Those of us who have given birth or have been present when someone gives birth know the sounds that accompany a baby's birth. And Jesus' birth would have been in many ways so remarkably ordinary. It happened just as other births happen, with pain and cries and danger and great gladness and joy. In a very literal way, the silent night was interrupted with the noise accompanying Christ's birth. But it wasn't just on a physical level that Christ's birth interrupted the silence. This was only a small part, because though Christ's birth was a true human and ordinary birth, yet in so many ways it was profoundly extraordinary. Other children may have been born that very night there in Bethlehem, but none of their births interrupted the silence like this one did. Because here, friends, is an astounding miracle which interrupts the monotony of our world ever since our fall into paradise, in paradise. For what happened that silent night in Bethlehem had never happened before. What happened, you say? Well, the Creator of the whole universe came as a creature. He who held the world in the palm of his hand was now being cradled by human hands. The one who in wisdom had fashioned the mountains now lies in one of its caves. He who had created the trees and the plains now lies there in a manger in the open air. The firstborn of all creation comes now as the firstborn son of Mary. He who was the law now was born under the law. The one who had created on the sixth day the animals, great and small, now takes his place among them, likely there in that manger. And he who will one day wipe all tears away from off the eyes of his people, he himself sheds tears as all babies do. It's interesting when we compare this with Adam, when he was made there from the dust of the ground. No doubt the animals which God had created earlier that day, they would have looked on while God breathed into Adam the breath of life there in that beautiful garden called Eden. And here the second Adam is born among animals, but now the world is no longer a beautiful garden. It's not perfect anymore. Now it's a world where there's pollution and where the effect of Adam's sin is visible everywhere. But Christ is content to be born into this sinful world, unwelcomed and uninvited. Friends, do you hear the good news that breaks forth into our silent nights? And calls us this morning, each of us, to faith in this second Adam? For this is not just a nice story that we can behold and tell to each other. The question is, do you believe what you're being told? That God in Christ is in this world of sin, and he's come so low, unasked and uninvited, but as the angel said, to save his people from their sins. It's not sufficient simply to look at that from the outside. Yes, it's good news, but it's good news as we take hold of it by faith, as we embrace this Christ child, as we find the darkness of our lives being driven back, as we cling to him who is the light of the world. Friends, this is good news this morning, especially if all around you there's bad news. It can happen, even among all the festivities and the hustle and bustle of our world. No doubt there are those here whose hearts are sunken down without hope on this, what's called Christmas Day. But friends, this morning, here's your hope. Truly, here's your comfort. This is a message of great joy, which shall be to all people, no matter what. There's peace here. For those who are restless this morning, believe the message that comes to us here from the manger in Bethlehem. It comes so close. There in the dark and threatening nights of our sin and sadness, there's a child so approachable, so close to you and to me. No wonder the silent night is broken on earth, not only, but as we see in our second point, it's broken and interrupted in heaven. That's our second point, the silent night interrupted in heaven. For what do we read, children? And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, the shepherds, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. And they were sore afraid. The angel said unto them, fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. You see here, don't you, that these angels are ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who shall inherit salvation. If we don't understand the significance of Christ's birth, these angels do. They've always had a keen interest in the affairs of mankind, and they've always been wondering what it is that the Creator, the King of Heaven, would do on behalf of this fallen human race. And here they have it for the first time since man's fall into sin. These angels look down. For the first time ever, here's one that's born without sin, without original sin, without any stain or blemish whatsoever. And so these angels cannot but interrupt this silent night over the fields of Bethlehem. And they interrupt it in a threefold way. First of all, with dazzling light. The glory of the Lord shone round about them. Just notice for a moment here that this light did not shine around baby Jesus. No matter what you may have thought or seen. No, you could say in a certain way, and this is prefiguring the cross. There's darkness there around Jesus, but there's light over the fields of Ephratah for poor shepherds, sinners like you and like me. He lies in darkness, but the light shines for them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them. These angels don't come there and huddle around this manger and shine upon Christ. No, they shine upon the people for whom Christ has come. It's because of Christ being born in our place that there can be light for those who sit in darkness. They come with dazzling light. They come, secondly, with cheering joy. It must have been something to see this heavenly host there come on the horizon, the fields of Bethlehem, so suddenly, to these shepherds who were oblivious of what was happening, even nearby them. And it's a heavenly host. It's a host, an army, a heavenly host of army. Picture with me brandished swords and glittering shields and dazzling light. It's an army that appears there on the scene around Bethlehem. What a fearful sight, you may think. So at least these shepherds thought. They were full of fear. They wondered at it, what was happening. But then from the lips of this first angel comes these words, I bring you tidings of great joy. Great joy, which shall be to all people. It's something, isn't it, when you fear the worst and you get the best. That's what the Lord does when he saves sinners. They fear the worst. There comes God, the God whom they fear. There comes his might and his power. But it's not to destroy you, you find. It's there to save you. I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. That's why he says in the gospel, he says, fear not. Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. There is a Savior who is born to take your place, to save you from your sins. Unto you is born this day in the city of David, not a judge, but a Savior, which is Christ, the anointed of God, Jesus, the Savior, and he's Lord. Friends, do you need someone like that? You need more than just a nice story, I hope, that inspires you for a day or two, along with lots of other things happening to you. No, the message today is of great joy, which shall be to all people, no matter who, but it's a Savior to take your place, to rule you as Lord, to be your prophet, priest, and king, yes, in your place and in your nature, and yes, so approachable. Do you bow and adore him? For that is thirdly what the angels are saying here. They come not only with dazzling light and with cheering joy, but they come with an inviting message. Listen, and you shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, strips of cloth that have just been torn up and wrapped around the limbs and the body of this baby, almost like so much later, the end of Christ's life. He was buried in strips of clothing wrapped around his body. You will find them there. So surprisingly, so unexpectedly, so humbly and lowly, Jesus Christ lying in a manger. Notice how they say that there. You will find him. They don't even say, go and seek for him. It's assumed that they would want to see him. You will find him. You will find him. You will find him. If you seek for him with all your heart, the scriptures say, you will find him. You will find him this morning, congregation. You will find him. If you seek for him with all your heart, do you need him this morning? You will find him. You will find him wrapped in swaddling clothes in your place, living your life over again in lowliness, humility, suffering, pain, sorrow. This is just the beginning. You will find him there, walking the streets of Jerusalem, the hillside of Judea and Galilee, there in your place. Foxes have holes. The birds of the air have nests, but he is nowhere to lay his head. You will find him. You seeking him this morning. He's so close. You children, he's so close even to you. A manger. Something that cattle would put their heads in. So low. He's so close. He's not far away from any of us. The scriptures say you will find him this morning. You will find him. You will find him. These angels came with such a winning message, didn't they? Suddenly there the whole sky breaks open and one angel is accompanied by a multitude of the heavenly host. They're singing. It's an army that sings. There's no battle here. There's just the song of rejoicing. The battle's been won in a certain sense. You could say the baby's here. It's time for singing. The heavenly song begins. This army, children, they're singing. What do they sing? Glory to God in the highest. And on earth, peace. The first thing is glory to God. These angels are so focused on God that when they look at this scene here below, the first thing that comes to their mind is not even peace on earth, but glory to God. They bring glory back to God. They're so focused on God. They return glory to him. It's all about him. Do you see where they're pointing you this morning? To God, who deserves all the glory. Glory to God, who has thought out salvation in his wisdom, who is accomplishing salvation in his power and in his grace. This is something that calls for a song. Can you join them this morning? What's the first thing on your lips as you see this child born in your place? Is it glory to God? That's what it should be. The angels lead the way. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill towards men. It's as if these angels are saying here with the words of Zephaniah 3, verse 17, the Lord thy God is in the midst of thee, and he is mighty. He will save. He will rejoice over thee with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over thee in singing. In a certain sense, congregation, we can say that heaven is full of song from the Father and the Spirit. To the whole worlds of angels, it's full of song. God himself is glorified. God himself is delighting in his Son. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The heavens interrupt the silence of the night. They can't help it. Glory to God in the highest. What an interruption on the earth. What an interruption in heaven. And though we'll just look at this briefly, don't you think too what an interruption this must have been in hell? Just think of that for a moment. We don't read of it here, at least, but we know that this Christ child has taken part of flesh and blood. Hebrews 2 verse 14 says that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil. Satan, you're on notice. Here lies the one who's going to tear your kingdom into pieces till nothing of it is left in terms of mankind. Your designs to plunge all of humanity into outer darkness and destruction. Here is the seed of the woman that God promised long ago, born of a woman. And 1 John 3 verse 8 says, for this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil. Why is Jesus lying in that manger? Among many things, but oh so gloriously, he's there manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil. That makes me so happy. Because that devil, friends, when he's at your elbow and when he's nipping at your heels and when he's there taunting you and mocking you and sneering you and telling you that the end has come, and all I have to say is, devil, you look there at that manger, that Christ child, he was manifested that he might destroy the works of the devil of you, O vile serpent. Friends, Satan's kingdom is given notice here that their empire is tottering and will very soon shake and nothing will be left. Thank God the silent night was interrupted on the earth. Silent night was interrupted in heaven. Silent night was interrupted in hell. Before we leave this point, congregation, really here are your only two reactions that are possible. That is this heavenly joy of the angels, or this cowering fear of devils and of demons. That's really it. I know we like to have that third camp of a watching world that takes some interest in this story. It is a winning story. And they like all the accoutrements that come with this. But friends, here you have it in all its starkness. Either you're rejoicing in your heart of hearts with these angels because you say glory to God in the highest. Peace, peace for me even, a son of war, a daughter of enmity, peace in my heart and God's good pleasure forevermore, world without end. Either you say that, or really, like these devils, you need to cower in fear because, friends, The world is unnoticed, that it's one or the other. It's either an embrace of this child and everything that comes with him, including this lowliness, including the cost of being a disciple of Christ, or its destruction, the devil and his realm. Oh, how we need Christ the Savior. And friends, he can interrupt your lives and interrupt the darkness of your lives as well, no matter how gloomy, sad, and dark it is. This is what we want to see in our third and final point, this silent night interrupted in our hearts. And so we see these shepherds obeying the invitation. You will find, and there they go, encouraging each other, let us go, let us go, let us go, even unto Bethlehem, and see this thing that God has revealed unto us. Shouldn't we encourage each other in the same way this morning? Let us go. Are you going? Let us go. Will you come with me? It's time to go. Will you go? Let us go, even unto Bethlehem. Let's not stop short. Let's not just listen to these tidings. Let us go. Let us go until we have this Christ child in our arms and in our hearts. They found what the angels had said to be perfectly true to every detail. And when they saw this, they couldn't contain themselves. They couldn't keep it to themselves. They were so filled with joy and awe and wonder. Our chapter tells us that they made this news known abroad. Just picture it with me. Here are these poor, outcast shepherds knocking on doors of their friends and of their family there in Bethlehem. All of a sudden, if you could see it from over top of this village, their oil lamps go on. Their households, sleepy households, wake up. There's incredible news. There is a Christ child that's been born. We don't know what it all entailed. Maybe the silence in many of these homes continued, much like it happens in our world as well. For a few hours, the world focuses its attention on this story, but then the silent night of sin and of darkness and of misery comes back. That's not enough, is it? I hope it's not enough for you this morning. And that's why we read, but Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. Literally it says, and Mary treasured all these things in her heart. And she went over them again and again. She pondered them. She meditated on them again and again. The Greek word is sumbalo. It's throwing things together again and again, trying to see how it all fits together. Some have said this is much like what you do when you have one of these large puzzles, 500 pieces or some even 1,000 pieces. You take these pieces and you put them together and you labor over this and you make it till it all fits together so beautifully and gloriously. And Mary had all these pieces. The angel. The prophecies, the things that were happening right in front of her eyes. She takes them into her heart. She treasures them. And she ponders them. Do you see how the silent night is interrupted with this holy activity in Mary's soul that you and I are being called to this morning? We take these things into our hearts. Blessed is the man who hides the word of God in his heart, in her heart, going over them again and again, meditating on them together, husband and wife as families, throughout today as we listen to the children in a few moments to glean, as Ruth did, to take these treasures and to pull them into our hearts by the Spirit of God and to go over them again and again. You know what Mary was doing, friends, and this is what we need to do as well by the Spirit. She was making this reservoir in her heart, the truth of God, treasuring it up there in her heart that she could go over it again and again, whatever would come her way. Because her life wouldn't always be the way it was just now. There'd be days of sorrow, of sadness in Mary's life. A sword would pierce her own soul too, but she had a treasure chest in her heart of God's dealings with her, God's words to her, of God's accomplishments outside of her, but for her. And she could go over it again and again, as the psalm says, Psalm 63, verse 6, when I remember thee upon my bed, meditate upon thee in the night watches. Do you come to church that way? Are you here this morning to see what bits and pieces you can take into your heart and treasure up there, so that whatever season awaits you, whatever you go home to, whatever the next battle is in your life, there's a treasure chest full of Christ, of all things necessary for life and godliness. Through Jesus Christ, promises, accomplishments, words spoken to you, no matter who you are. Mary was no one of herself. Common girl, poor, but her heart was full of riches like Herod never had, like the rich in our world never have. Thou sent the rich away empty, Mary said, that thou hast filled the hungry and the poor with good things. Friends, God can visit and comfort you with his light, even though your heart is as black as the midnight moonless sky. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light, the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Do you know that? Do you know that light in your heart? Treasure it. Take all that you're hearing today and treasure it. God is interrupting your life with his light, with his gospel, with his news. I wondered why it was that God chose the night for Christ to be born. He could have revealed Christ's birth during the day, the light of day. But isn't it this, that God loves to shine the brightest of lights into the darkest of hearts? And he wants us to be sure that there's no place too dark, no heart too dark, but this light of the face of Jesus Christ can blast it away. Christ born in our hearts. That's our prayer. That's our wish for you today. And that's the news of the angels to all of us today. You will find him. You will find him. You will find him. Glory to God in the highest. Amen. Let's pray.